Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the Different Strokes Effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Because it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. At the top of the show, we played Owl Eyes Raiders.
Now, Jade, something very exciting happened at the stroke of midnight this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people out here in Melbourne would have been, you know, clamouring for a piece of Harry Potter, and you were one of the few people that got to see it.
I would hardly say I was few.
Like, it's not exclusive, is it, girl?
No. if the line at the particular venue I went to is any judgment by what overall the, you know, people went crazy for it, Dave, because it's the last one.
It's the last ever Harry Potter movie.
Yeah.
Are you a big Harry Potter fan yourself, or is it kind of by relation?
Well, yeah. Look, to be honest, I hadn't even read any of the Harry Potter books until early this year. And my girlfriend is, in fact, one of the hugest Harry Potter fans you will ever meet.
Oh, really?
And, you know, Dave, I'm, of course, you know, my X-Files thing is, you know, it's pretty obvious. I talk about it quite a lot. And she'd watched all 9 seasons of X-Files with me. So I thought, I will do her. I will do a solid and I'll read all these Harry Potter books. Anyway, so I read them and I, of course, went to the movie last night.
Now, you weren't a big enough fan to dress up or anything like that?
No.
Were there people dressing up?
There were people dressed up, Dave. Lightning scars and all.
Oh, you know, that's real dedication. Yeah. Like, if you're going to tell me to go watch a movie premiere at the stroke of midnight and you want me to dress up, mm-hmm. like, girl, that is testing my love.
Well, I guess it's really, you know, I find it really interesting, Dave, because I think, you know, Harry Potter, we talked about pop culture at one point and how TV and movies and film take over lives and generations. And this is one of the hugest things in terms of, you know, at least the last 10 years, you know, 10 to 15 years, when you think about it and how engrossed everyone is. It'll be interesting to see what the end of that is, like, you know,
how are we going to survive in a world without more Harry Potter books and movies?
I mean, I think about things like, you know, shows like Friends or Seinfeld were really huge, and it was like a big deal when those shows ended. But I don't think that's even a speck in the pan of what
Harry Potter
was. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, I guess the aftermath is what I find the most interesting. What will happen next?
What will happen next? What will happen to Danny Radcliffe's career and Emma Watson's career? You know, are they going to do like Jennifer Aniston and people just go, I can't see you in this movie because you're still Hermione, you're still Harry and so forth. You know, it'll be interesting to see how they recover from that as well as professionals.
I think, you know, the three of them are all doing a really good job at the moment. Like, so, yeah. And I mean, they're so young. You know, they're only like 20 or 21.
I know, but look at Macaulay, you know, Culkin.
Yeah.
Like, girl, you know, talk about peaking early and, you know, never being able to recapture that. Or the Olsen twins. Like, I felt like the
Olsen. I'm sure the Olsen twins still feel like they're relevant, Dave.
Well, what they what they think is separate to what I think, okay? Let's just say that. I mean, I love the Olsen twins. I know that they can still make plenty of money as fashionistas now. So, yeah, yeah. You know, I think they've kind of found their own niche. But it'd be interesting to see those three core actors and what happens after Harry Potter and how they can spin from that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Dave, you must feel so lucky to go and watch these shows that you would never have thought to watch ever before.
Look, I always go on the personal recommendation of a friend when it comes to TV shows because I'm quite loyal with the series that I watch.
Tune in for a Different Strokes take on television.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, you know how much I struggle when a new sci-fi show is on the scene.
Jade is like the biggest X-Files fan I know. And, you know, any, I promise you, she's probably the biggest X-Files fan in Melbourne, full stop.
Mm-hmm.
So the last time there was another sci-fi TV show.
When we talked about Fringe, Dave, I really struggled.
You really struggled. Like, I felt like that wasn't a proper review because you were still holding on to elements of X-Files and you couldn't embrace Fringe. So.
But the good thing, right, about this show, Dave, is so the big thing for me with X-Files and comparing other shows to X-Files is when they put a male and female together and you know what I mean? Like they kind of try to create
that kind of Mulder and Scully chemistry.
They try to make that chemistry. Anyway, that's what irritates me more than, you know, obviously the storylines are pretty generic, you know, across all sci-fi. But this show, Falling Skies, is obviously completely different. And it's an ensemble, and it's post-apocalyptic, as you mentioned, Dave, and it sort of starts, I watched the first episode last week, but it starts 6 months after the world is devastated by an alien invasion. And so you're kind of just thrown into this story where...
the world's already been ripped apart.
Yeah.
And we know Steven Spielberg is behind this. Mm-hmm. So it's, is it looking epic? Is it looking like huge, just in a mega bucks movie kind of way?
Yeah. And I guess like, you know, it's set in Boston. And there's, I assume that as the series goes on, you'll find out more about the rest of the world because you're kind of given an indication that it's something like 90% of the world's population is devastated by or is dead now as a result of this invasion. Mm. But this bit is specific to Boston, and the main character is a guy called Tom Mason, who's played by Noah Wyle, who most people will know from ER. And he was a university professor who worked specifically around history and military history, and he becomes like the second in command of this militia, effectively called the Second Massachusetts, that is trying to trying to fight back or rebel against this invasion. Right.
So the aliens are running the world.
Yeah,
and these are like the people that have kind of gathered to get together to. As an uprising.
Yeah, and it's... Okay. And they're responsible, this, you know, the second in charge, Tom, and then there's an old army dude who named Captain Weaver, who's in charge of the troop. But basically what they're doing is they've got a group of people that they're having to look after and move away from, you know, these aliens and that are called skitters, Dave.
Aliens are called skitters.
Yeah, so what they... Because they're not, the traditional grey aliens that you're used to seeing in film or whatever. They're these kind of spider-like almost aliens. So
do they
octopusy, spider-type things that skit along the ground, which is why they're called skitters.
So they're like little aliens, are
they? Well, they're quite big, but they kind of skit... The way they skit along the ground is that they're kind of, you know, an octopus or, you know, they'd be almost human height. But a bit lower. And then they've got these robot type warriors that work with them called mechs.
Okay.
And
this is all like very deep into sci-fi-ness.
Yeah. And what's happening is, you know, these, in addition to sort of taking over and invading, the skitters have, they're effectively collecting young kids and young human kids and turning them and harnessing them. So, and that effectively means they put some sort of like alien and harness it into their back and it turns them into a slave.
Hell no. I don't think I can watch this
show. Yeah, this, Dave, it is, you're... it is a traditional sci-fi show in that there is no way, unless you commit yourself to this show completely, that you are going to be able to sit through it because there's so much going on.
I feel like a lot of people, the general verdict with Falling Skies is that people feel very lost and very overwhelmed by it. And, you know, some people kind of give up at the first or second episode mark.
Yeah.
They just haven't got that love and that, you know, as you say with sci-fi fans, you guys really do persevere with a series. You can't do that, bam, you know, you're gonna miss out on it.
And I guess you're learning this new world. You're learning how, you know, you're learning so much and you're trying to figure it all out. And they, you know, the first episode obviously is trying to introduce the characters. That's not, and so we're not even getting into what happened.
Yeah, and why the aliens are here.
And they're saying it actually just got renewed, Dave, for a second season of 10 episodes. The first season has just finished in America, I believe. But it's airing at the moment here on Fox 8. So episode 2 is on tomorrow night. I haven't actually had a chance to check this out, but the website, Dave, they've got an online webcomic and it releases every 2 weeks and it shows the characters just weeks after the invasion, and it sort of gives backstory. So
okay, because, you know, the show itself, the nature of the narrative of Falling Skies is that, you know, you're literally walking it after the alien invasion. You don't really get a chance to explore the back stories. And I guess if they were to write that into the actual TV series, it would just make it really long and really beefy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a really good idea just to have the online comics so you can learn a bit more about the characters if you want.
And they've got videos as well, like character videos that you can watch on their website and stuff. So there is a way that you can kind of get really involved. But that's what I mean, Dave. It's not something that you can pick it up and watch it really quick. And that's why I don't think you would like it, because you're very much
I gotta feel it. I gotta be moved by the acting and the storyline when I see it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not gonna persevere with no alien invasion.
This is like a commitment show. You have to really ensconce yourself in it.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, girl.
Welcome to Different Strokes Online. Log in to hear Jade and Dave's perspectives on online media.
The internet should not be used as a high-tech babysitter. We need to make sure that when our kids surf the web, they don't drown.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, we had a text come in from James who says, "Hey guys, great show so far. Google Plus is growing on me. I like the idea of the circles and the huddle message. And because of those features, it might be a good place for your close circle of friends online."
That's a good one, James. And I guess I'm still kind of finding my way around with Google Plus.
Mm-hmm.
It is, like you said before, Jade, still invite only.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually reckon that by the end of this week, 20 million people around the world would have already, you know, come on to Google Plus.
I think, you know, the invite only thing is actually a really safe way of doing it. Like, because, you know, obviously the whole thing is people are saying, oh yeah, you're trying to outdo Facebook, right? Like, so, you know, but they can kind of, you know, Google being a successful company can kind of be like, oh, we're just playing around. It's invite only. Like, we're testing some things out. They're not launching something and going, this is going to compete with Facebook.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, they're not trying to be all definitive about it. I like that approach. It's kind of, it's subtle, you know, and I think a lot of organizations do go for the subtlety thing these days, even with music. Like, you know, you see a lot of artists kind of putting like a buzz track out, you know, that's not the official first single, you know, and so forth. That, there's a lot of ways around it where you can kind of downplay the importance of something.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're afraid that it will flop or something.
And I'm guessing, you know, because Google Wave basically crashed and burned.
That was a flop.
They're probably feeling a bit hesitant about anything.
And what about Orkut, the other social networking site that I think Google created?
I haven't actually tried Orkut.
Yeah, you know, I've heard people talk about Orkut like it's some sort of thing that failed and didn't really take off.
Yeah.
But, you know, I also know there's a lot of people using Orkut. So, yeah, it's one of those things. What's going to happen with Google Plus? Is it going to go in the way of Google Wave and Orkut, or will it actually stand out as its own social networking website?
Mm.
The big thing, I guess, is in this day and age, you and I and so many people, Jade, we're just very overconnected. Mm-hmm. So we know how to use social networking websites.
Yep.
We know the basic functions is to share, upload your video, your photos, and, you know, your status updates. We know to look for those things. But, you know, we can do that on Twitter. We can do that on Facebook. We can do that on Tumblr. So what's making Google Plus different from the crowd, I guess, yep. is what we're trying to find out. The what James mentioned before when he texted in, the thing with circles is, I think it's quite revolutionary. I guess it's been a long time coming in terms of social networking. Remember when Facebook and MySpace and all that first came around, Jade, and there wasn't really a way where we can control how much of what we share to certain people mm-hmm. on our friends list?
Yep.
I feel that Google Plus is definitely at that point now where it recognizes that we all interact with people differently, you know, work yeah. friends, family, you know, friends and drinking buddies, whatnot.
It fits in. I mean, Dave, I talk a lot about my rules about Facebook. Like, I refuse to add any of my family to Facebook. So I guess the thing about the circles is, in theory, if I wanted to, I could have a family circle.
You can have a family circle on mm. Google Plus, and they don't got to know about the business you get up to with your friends.
Yep.
They don't have to see those nasty pictures.
And your boss doesn't have to see it.
Your boss doesn't have yep. to know. So, you know, they've kind of got that in check. Mm-hmm. Google Plus knows that, you know, they've created these circles for you to, you know, stratify things. And mm-hmm. I appreciate that. But the funny thing is that anyone can kind of add you to their circle, Jade.
Yeah.
There's no approval process like
it's
with Facebook.
It's so open, yeah.
It's very open. So you can be in anyone's circle. You don't necessarily have to add them in your circle, though.
In
so
that way, like Twitter. It, yeah, in that way, it's like Twitter.
Yeah, or Tumblr and all that, yeah. you know, where it's less less of that pressure to really connect with someone.
Yeah.
Another function on Google Plus that is very interesting to me is the Hangout.
Yeah.
Now, the Hangout is basically, it's kind of like a video chat function. Mm. Is it a video? Yes, it's
yeah,
a video
so
chat function.
You can
yeah.
all, like, you know, you can have a whole circle of people all show up in their video, in a video conference effectively. And then the person who is talking at that time is the main
screen.
Screen.
Or the person talking the loudest yeah. is the main screen. So, you know, if you
It'll always be you, Dave.
It'll always be me. So, look, Jade, I mean, the Hangout sounds interesting because looking at other social networking websites, there's no means for that kind of video conferencing.
Mm-hmm. We're already starting to hear, though, Dave, that Facebook is looking at integrating with Skype.
Mm.
So when that happens, I think, you know, maybe there's some sort of battle brewing there, Dave.
There is definitely battle. Like, Facebook is not going to take it down yeah. lying, you know. Facebook's not gonna bite on no pillow.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to fight. It's going to fight back. So for now, we're going to let Google Plus have it, you know. So there's the Hangout function where it's like a video conferencing thing. You can invite your family or friends to that.
Mm-hmm.
There's also Huddle, which is like, I guess it's a text-based group chat function.
Yep.
Now, I don't use Facebook chat. You know, my little brother yeah. kind of looks at me and kind of go, well, if you're not using Facebook chat, then what's the point of being on Facebook? I'm like, I don't need to chat with people all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of go on, update, do my thing.
I know a lot of people who use it a lot, and I've used it very,
chat.
Very, yeah. very rarely.
So I'm not privy to the world of chatting,
yep.
You know, but people that do Facebook chat are probably going to appreciate the Huddle because mm-hmm. it's like a group function. So rather than having a one-on-one conversation, you can have like a bunch of friends, have mm-hmm. like a discussion and so forth. So another thing is that is on Google Plus that I'm kind of interested in is Sparks,
mm-hmm.
which is this function that I guess it's taking Google News filter to a new level.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of select categories that you're interested in, like, say, fashion or music or sport, and you kind of add that as your Sparks.
Yeah.
So if anything happens in that realm or in that category, it will kind of flag it there. And, you know, when you want to check on it, you can just go click on that tab. Yep. You know, you can already do that on Tumblr. You know, Tumblr does this thing where there are, you can explore various tag functions.
And you can have, yeah, and you can have some favorite tags that you always go to, yep.
Yeah, exactly yep. right. So you can set up things of interest so that kind of news is specific to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's all coming together. I'm not really updating my Google Plus profile as much, I have to say.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether I should, because I don't actually update my Facebook status and my Twitter things simultaneously. They're not always the same information, because there's some things I want to share on Twitter that might not be relevant to my friends on Facebook. So at the moment, I haven't got the energy to create, like, invest another, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Invest another way of working a social networking site.
Well, I think, you know, for people like us, Dave, I mean, we're both on Tumblr, we're both on Twitter, and we're both on Facebook. And then we
used to be on MySpace.
And we used to be on MySpace. So to take on something else, it's a big responsibility.
It's a big commitment. I feel that. It's a big commitment.
You say that it's about pop artist with character.
Pop artist with character.
Forget what you've heard. Listen to Strummy Lala music, as I like to call it.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, we have a text come in from Twitchy.
Hi, Twitchy.
Twitchy says, hey, guys, you are my favourite Joy show. Been on Google Plus only a few days, but one really cool thing is that it has an unbuilt translator, which worked well when I tried it. So wider circle potential.
Ooh, yeah. So a lot of people are obviously poking around on Google Plus already.
Mm-hmm.
More adventurous than I have to say with you and I.
Yeah, we're a bit tentative in that kind of thing.
I know. Well, like, what's up with that? Come on, we're supposed to be, you know, running this thing, and
look,
we're supposed to be
when it
enthused.
Bumps, we will claim the bump as our own.
No, I don't think we can ever claim Google Plus bump being our own, because it's just, first of all, it's anything Google related. We don't have that power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know you think we're all that, but we just don't have.
Well,
that
we
power.
Did bump Tumblr. So
we did bump Tumblr, and we did bump Winter Gordon.
Yeah.
So.
And she went to number one. So.
Yeah, so come on. Over on Twitter, at OutOutOut, which is TG, has tweeted us to say that, hey, I'm on Google Plus. I think it's got a lot of potential. Pros being posting is private by default, streamlined by sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And the cons is that the mobile site and the Android app are just lacking in features at the moment.
Mm.
As in, you can't share, you can't invite and all that. So they're probably working on that. And
yeah.
That's probably not their priority when they first got it up and running, I would say.
It's invite only.
It's invite only. Yeah, see, yeah. So they're trying to be cool about it, be all down low about it. But, you know, Google Plus, we're on to you. Yeah. Jade, we're going to review the new Kaiser Chiefs album. Now, I feel a very special connection to Kaiser Chiefs because although I don't listen to alternative music and English rock bands or just rock bands full stop, many, many, many years ago.
Retro Different Strokes.
Retro vintage Different Strokes even.
Mm-hmm.
Smell that cheese. Vintage Different Strokes. We had a karaoke kind of segment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it wasn't an ongoing segment, thankfully. No, we didn't send people deaf over the years. But I was actually given the task of covering a Kaiser Chiefs song.
Mm-hmm.
Every Day I Love You Less and Less,
yes,
I think.
Yes, that's right.
So I feel like, you know, this is my people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Kaiser Chiefs, are, you know, they're back with a new album now, and I don't know if I can maybe do another song justice.
Well, to be honest, Dave, like, you know, that was probably the reason why I decided to talk about this album. In addition to a very interesting marketing promotion type thing that happened with, so the album is called The Future is Medieval. It's their fourth album. It was originally released in early June on their website only. And I guess the big marketing thing about it was they had something like 20 tracks on offer. And instead of you buy the 20 tracks, you could go there and make your own version of 10 tracks. So you could pick and choose what you wanted. And then you could customize your own artwork. And then you could share that version with people. And if someone else bought it, you would get a pound.
I think that is so exciting. I really like the idea of that. And I don't know if a lot of bands and a lot of artists would be willing to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think rock bands work differently to pop stars. You know, with pop stars, every song that you include on your album has to be a hit. You know, it needs to be hit. It's calculated down like that.
Mm-hmm.
But with a band, you know, I feel that when you're jamming, when you're making music like that, it's organic. So it's easy for a band like Kaiser Chiefs to end up with like 20 songs that they can't decide to put on an album, and they might not necessarily want to do a two-disc album.
It's interesting that you say that, Dave, because the reviews that I read around the time that they were only like there's since been a physical release that came out the end of June.
So they have kind of decided on a definitive track list.
But the reviews from that early bit were people were saying, oh, well, you know, how do we even make a how do we even review this, you know, what is the feel, how can you get a vibe of what the actual album is, because it's a pick and choose.
And yeah, but I like that, because in this day and age, you know, we're all connected on the internet, we all customize everything, we customize our dashboard on, you know, God knows what website you're connected with, we customize our various social networking profiles with music, you know. People are buying individual tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not as many people are buying the whole albums anymore. So to have 20 tracks and to say to your fans, you can pick 10 of your favorites mm-hmm. from this part and create your version of our album. In fact, here's a couple of artworks as well. You go create the artwork for it as well. It yep. gives the fans so much ownership over the music, and they feel like they are a part of that as well. Mm-hmm. So I really love how involved it is. You know, it's a very consumer involved world that we're yep. in, and I love that music's becoming that way as well.
Well, Dave, I just a bit further. So I did actually get the full physical release just to do.
Did you hear the other tracks that didn't make?
No,
the
I
cut?
Didn't hear them. But there is a vibe to this album, to the tracks overall. There is, in terms of, it's very raw, and I'm going to say tinny is the word. But what I mean by that is, it's just so stripped. And it's very retro, and I feel like it's a bit like, you know, songs like Every Day I Love You Less and Less and I Predict a Riot are very upbeat and sort of they're single folk, you know, they're standout singles. I don't get that vibe from anything that's on this release at all. It's all very it's a plateau.
It's right? a plateau for them. Wow.
And I don't mean that in a bad way at all. I actually like the songs on the album, but it is very like there's not, for an album that was, you know, a pick and choose, it is very cohesive in its,
it is very samey. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I was gonna say, you know, if you've got 20 songs to choose from to create your own version of this Kaiser Chiefs album,
mm-hmm.
like what will people end up picking? Will people end up picking like the more radio ready singles? But you're telling me that there's not even that, like, no. girl, like this whole album is just cohesive, it's, and it's just all the same.
It feels very retro, Dave. Like, you can
feel. Are we saying like the Strokes kind of retro?
No, I'm talking about like, you know, old school 80s, 90s, even back into the 70s. Like, it feels like the original, you know, things that the Strokes and like at times, I guess a more modern comparison would be, at times it kind of reminds me of bits of Bloc Party, very early Bloc Party, that were referencing again, you know, things a lot earlier. People have said it kind of reminds them of something Human League might write. So
wow.
It's very, very retro. There's a lot of kind of there is a synth, but it's not really like, it's not that bouncy synth. It's very,
it's not like the Wombats kind of synth.
No.
Well, the album is called Future is Medieval. So maybe there is kind of like a throwback to old school music, but the way that, you know, going about the campaign is very futuristic.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.